White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network. Your host for today's show is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy. So get a spot of tea, sit down and relax, because it's time for another show on the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network.
And this is the White Aryan Resistance, right here in the bunker. Terrible Tommy, back here in north central Indiana, where the piggies are running all over the place. And the corn, they got great corn crops most of the places around it this year, so I guess that's good news. Probably shipping it all to China anyhow, though. Well, it is the 8th month, the 17th day. Moon's Day. That's right. We're back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Yeah, P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your donations and get your donations for the radio show in. 17th, we usually say 15th is almost a cutoff date. So if you don't have your donations in by now, you better get them in here. You might miss some radio shows. Yeah. And then go up to resist.com, our big website that we spend a lot of time and money making that available to you. I mean, there's not much up there that you can't find out if you want to find out something about race. So somebody says, well, what do those guys have? What are they talking about? What do they stand for? Well, just go up to resist.com. Just tell them, go to resist.com, lazy. And then you can call me at 641-715-3800. Code is 56890, pound. No, not pound. It's 56890. Okay, there you got it. There you got it. Well, I had my first two-day weekend in quite a while off of making shows. And it felt good. I got a lot of work done. That I don't get done on the show during the week. And I got a lot of honey-do stuff, and I'm telling you, I don't know. I think it's easier putting out shows than doing that honey-do stuff. Yeah. Well, I see a Dutch newspaper did a bad thing, a very bad thing. They used the nigger word as part of the headline for a published book review. The headline was part of an NRC Handelsblad review that includes books published by black authors, such as journalist Ta Nehisi Coates, who writes for The Atlantic. So they put nigger on there. Oh, that's terrible. Well, let me remind you, if you're a free man, you can use nigger anytime you want. If you're a slave, you can. Incidentally, I got in trouble again with one of our good buddies. Yeah, I used the word white trash a couple of times, and Stray Dog said, shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. I sent out his email that he sent to me, to you people, over the weekend. I hope you read it. Anyhow, we got to call them white niggers. That's it. Stray Dog thinks we should call them white niggers, not white trash. Well, I think that's pretty much to the point, so I stand corrected, Stray Dog. From now on, they're going to be white niggers. And believe me, we got a lot of white niggers. When I look around where the area that I live in, it may be all white or mostly all white, but a good share of those people are white niggers. The way they talk, the way they walk, the way they dress, the way they think, and on it goes. So you can live in an all-white area that don't seem very white if you look at them and listen to them talk. And ask them what they think about things. And don't try to inject your racial ideas to them, because they'll just blow you off. Most of them will blow you off. So let the dead bury the dead. That's what I say. When you're laying alongside of the road, you fat, overweighted American white people that believe in occupying other countries and all those other things you do, well, don't ask me to pick you up and put you in the back of the truck, because I'm going to leave you lay there till you die. Well, a so-called black neurosurgeon running for president, Ben Carson, said that Planned Parenthood sets up abortion clinics in black neighborhoods to control the population. Well, that's why I contribute to Planned Parenthood once in a while, tying the nation's leading provider of abortions to eugenics. That's wonderful. Then eugenics to Hillary Clinton, the author and political pundit who retired. How about that? Like I said, I guess he found us out. I've told people start investing in inner city abortion mills a long time ago.
Every day, our country must find a place to park 5 billion gallons of human waste, and we appear increasingly unable to find a space. Municipalities across the states constantly deal with sewage spills, and the nightmare is only getting worse as a never-ending stream of people descend upon our cities. More human beings means more human fecal matter. When Hurricane Sandy shut down 6 New York City sewage plants, millions of gallons of raw sewage spewed across the streets. Imagine New York City inundated in its own fecal matter. In a matter of hours, America's biggest metropolis would be a ghost town.
This is the dark, deep secret of New York City. Nobody wants to talk about it. When you wake up in the morning and you turn on the faucet to brush your teeth, everybody's happy. Where it goes from there, nobody cares.
I'm standing on a lot of shit, aren't I?
You are. There's 3 million gallons of organic material in each of the eggs.
And you're about to see, like the shit of a million people seething into one gigantic methane fart. Here we go, Vinny.
New York City, home to 8 million people and 22 million more who visit and live close by. All of whom wake up, get out of bed, brush their teeth, and flush the toilet. Our assignment was to look into something nobody wants to talk about. We had to follow human fecal matter from the flush all the way through the sewage system to its final resting spot, wherever that might be. We used to dump our crap in our nation's oceans, rivers, lakes, and bays. But now that's against the law. So what happens to this massive volume of turds? This is a story about where that shit goes. Who takes the shit? What happens to the shit after that? And why, in all likelihood, you have unknowingly been eating byproducts of your own shit for years? Every day, 24 million pounds of human excrement flow through thousands of miles of pipes to 14 so-called wastewater treatment plants. To start our investigation, we visited the largest of New York City's sewage treatment plants, which happens to be within walking distance of Vice's Brooklyn offices.
We're here at Newtown Creek, New York City's largest solid waste facility, because you think when you flush the toilet, it goes away. It does not. It comes here.
We met up with the Deputy Commissioner of New York City's Department of Environmental Protection, Vincent Sapienza, and Plant Chief Eric Klee to show us the system. Newtown Creek is one of the newest and most advanced solid waste treatment plants in the world. Completed in 2012 at the cost of $4 billion, it has won awards for its beauty and architecture. There's a lot of hardware and technology around here, and we couldn't believe how many people have to deal with what we don't want to deal with. The main job at Newtown Creek is to separate the water from biological waste. But before that, these guys have to remove all the junk that comes through the sewers.
And this is where the raw sewage first comes into the
plant. Look, there it is. Yeah. If you look all the way down, you can smell it. Oh, look, you see right here, I can see some toilet paper. There is some used toilet paper over there that the rake has brought up.
Step back a little, you're going to get wet.
You're going to get splashed.
The rake pulls up everything you might expect, like aluminum cans, hospital red bag waste, oil spills, blood, vomit. and lots of baby wipes. They have also brought up quite a few vials of cocaine and countless millions of counterfeit money. One waste professional told us off camera that they found aborted fetuses and even live dogs.
Like, it looks like there's a big rock over here. Like,
what's grease?
That's grease. That's like a big chunk of grease.
It's a lot bigger than that, isn't it?
Like, you see huge chunks.
Yep.
What's the biggest chunk of grease you ever saw?
Like a log.
This is why you're always told not to dump cooking oil into your sink. It turns into this.
See you later, boss.
The rakes take out the big stuff, and this room removes the small stuff, like bottle tops and bubblegum wrappers.
It does not smell good here.
How much do you spend just in air filters?
About $100,000.
Just for this plant, $100,000 for air filters. Yeah, you need some more in here.
Eric and Vinny have been working in human residuals for a long time. All of this stuff, they say, the rake, the air filters, the computers, the pipes, and the tanks, are here for a reason, to remove the poison from New York City sludge.
So this is it. This is the treated sewage now leaving the plant. It's going out of this overflow structure down a pipe that runs down India Street and into the East River.
So this goes straight to the East River. How long did this water take to go from my flush back to the street?
How many hours?
I thought it was more like 2 hours, a high rate flow.
It's a high rate flow.
So yeah, 2 hours. So in other words, I flush, it hits this plant, and 2 hours later, that water is back on the street.
Now that Newtown Creek has removed the garbage and discarded the water, what we're left with is pure sludge, which now must be thoroughly vetted and examined, and that involves PhDs in poop chemistry.
You know, it makes you think twice when you drink the water. Because it's a closed system, that's what you're starting to realize, that water, like, has been around a couple of times.
Here you go, some of the sample.
Oh, hello! What you got there?
Return sludge.
Let's see. Oh my God, so you're walking around carrying little vials of shit. That's nice.
Yes, I'm actually going to go take a look at it now, see what's in it.
What are these scientists doing? Why is it so important to study what we don't want to look at? Turns out the Environmental Protection Agency, always looking out for us, needs to know about possible hazards in our eliminations. Federal regulations govern sludge, so more than 60 scientists work in this building. They inspect everything that's in the sludge, including traces of Prozac, caffeine, and Chanel No. 5. Keep in mind that mixed within the stew of Newtown Creek comes every effluent of cancer patients at hospitals, every sort of industrial poison, everything that goes down every single drain.
So what we're looking for is what comes out of our bodies is kind of poisonous. So what we're looking to do is neutralize it. So let me ask you a question. So what you're seeing here is that some of these come from Red Hook, and you can know specifically where they're coming from?
Yeah, they're all labels, basically. When we receive the sample, we compose it.
So are some of these parts of Brooklyn worse than others? Like, is Red Hook shit, let's say, worse than Greenpoint shit? Like, what's the worst?
Yeah, it could be. Sometimes it depends on. That's what we give them all these results. Which one is bad? Which one is good? Which one is...
Which one is generally bad? Where's the worst stuff coming from?
The worst stuff.
Which one? Which one smells bad?
We're going to analyze it.
Which one is smelling the worst? Somebody from... Is it the Red Hook guys? It's Park Slope.
Every step, and with each inspection, our waste is transforming into something other than what it was. Everyone is now referring to it as biosolids. It was around this time that we really started to wonder where it was going. So, the water is now clean and in the East River. The scientists have their samples of concentrated biosolids. But we wanted to know, where do the tons and tons of human waste go?
Here we are at the top of the park.
$1 million
view. I'm standing on a lot of shit, aren't I?
You are. There's 3 million gallons of organic material in each of the eggs.
So this is a pressure relief valve that if too much pressure from gas builds up in the digesters, it can just open on its own and relieve itself. But I'm going to open it for you just so you can get a sense of what it sounds like and smells like.
This is it, man. You're about to see what, like the shit of a million people seething into one gigantic methane fart. Here we go, Vinny.
What do you think, Jackson?
Oh, God.
He got it.
Oh.
we're seeing the biosolids from Newtown Creek moving through this pipe right here onto this boat, and we're going to head with it towards Island for the next stage in the development of human fecal matter.
We met the captain of the Newtown Creek. You might not have realized it, but those big boats with DEP on their side are traveling around New York Harbor transporting human waste. These ships run every day, even in a national crisis.
Is that this boat or another?
That's our boat. That's signaling the plant that we're done loading, so then they're going to blow back to us.
Fecal matter has always posed a challenge to society. For millions of years, the history of the human race has been the history of moving across planet Earth and leaving behind steaming piles of human waste. But when civilization begins and human beings stay in one spot, it is the waste that has to move. If the waste doesn't move, cities can't exist. When Cortez met the great Montezuma in Mexico, he found sludge boats floating in the capital city. Without sewage, there would have been no glories of Alexandria, Rome, and Philadelphia. New York's first wastewater treatment plant was built the same year the Statue of Liberty arrived.
If these boats don't run, the harbor's going to be polluted pretty good.
As one of our guys says, you'd have sludge backing up in Times Square.
Knee deep in Times Square, yeah.
Knee deep in Times Square. And actually, up until about, 20 years ago, these boats used to take the sludge out and just dump it 12 miles out. Right. Then they realized that the tide was still bringing the sludge back in, and now we no longer dump.
In the old days, the journey would have stopped when the boat dumped its cargo in the ocean. But in 1992, the United States banned ocean dumping. So now the boat ride is just a part of the process, but we still don't know where it ends. So after 30 days of fermentation in the digesters at Newtown Creek, the biosolids were loaded into the barge and would now be escorted up the East River to the next processing plant, located on Ward's Island.
Hey, Rick, I see you got the steering on. We ready to go?
Okay, Joey, you got the bow go. Ricardo, let the stern go. Hold the spring line.
What's going to happen with that sludge when it gets towards Island?
We pump it off and the plant dewaters it. They go through a centrifuge and they spin at a high rate and get the water out of it. And then what's left behind is solids.
And then what?
After that, that's out of my area.
We're about 1.5 miles from our destination at Ward's Island with 80,000 cubic feet of sludge. We're going to send it out the boat and dewater it over there, but still nobody has been able to reveal the ultimate destination. Nobody will tell me where my poop is going.
Security, security. Tank of Newtown Creek is eastbound off 72nd Street Powerhouse. Bound through the gate, be rounding up Ward's Island, Newtown Creek.
Waiting for us at Ward's Island was John McCabe, also known as the plant manager.
We'll go upstairs to the second floor. That's where all the action happens.
Newtown Creek separated the water and trash from the waste, and here at the dewatering plant, they are squeezing even more liquid out of the solid.
This would be the centrate.
Well, there it is. You can't know, but it smells extremely bad in here. It's the worst we've been. Yet, there's shit all over the floor. This is like the kingdom of shit.
Raw sewage. It's just going to cripple life as we know it. We have to treat it. We have to treat the sewage. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to sustain life. That's the cake product. That's right out of the machine. That's as fresh as it gets.
The cake then moves from centrifuges to dozens of conveyor belts.
We're looking at the bottom of the centrifuge. The dry product is dropped by gravity onto this conveyor belt.
It looks like the endless horizon of cake.
Endless horizon of cake, that's correct.
You see, it's an endless stream.
Doesn't stop.
It just doesn't stop.
Does not stop.
This place smells so bad it hurts. I mean, it literally hurts your head.
They call it cake, but it's human shit, and it's filling up 25 of these trucks every day.
Each tractor trailer has about 25 tons of cake when it's removed from the facility.
And where are they going to take it?
Each biosolids contract goes to a different site.
So we don't really know.
Vinny would know.
But we had asked Vinny earlier, and he hadn't given us a satisfying answer. So either no one knows, or no one is telling us. Questions remained. Where was it going? Why were they studying it? And what would be the ultimate fate of our daily waste? Maybe the professionals suspected us common people might not be ready for the truth. We're here at Ward's Island waiting for the ship trucks to come out of the dewatering plant. Nobody would tell us the final destination of our ship, so we're staking it out. And as the trucks come out, we're just going to pull around and follow it, no matter where it takes us. In fact, here comes a cop, I think, to talk to us. No, you're good. I love the fact that they guard the ship. What are they doing, those guys? The little fuckers are coming around. Where is the big ship truck? Where is Big Brother? See it. Been here about 2 hours. The first truck is pouring out.
We did it, man. We're following the shit.
So next time you see a truck with residual waste printed on the side, you'll know what it is. 25 tons of human shit. We're going to follow this guy. We don't know where he's going, but he's on the Deegan. We're heading north. Shit on the loose on the Deegan.
So here we are on the upper level of the George Washington Bridge. Shit used to go into the Hudson. Now it's flying over at about 50 miles per hour. We are now on little side streets in New Jersey, in some sort of industrial area. I mean, where is my shit going?
Oh, fuck. This dude... We gotta just get out and ask him.
This dude is stopping.
Weird. Okay.
Should I ask him?
Yeah, go ask.
How you doing? How are you?
Awesome.
No, I just we saw you leave Ward's Island.
Yeah, well, you follow me. I'm moving my truck.
Yeah, I know.
Follow me.
I know. What? I know. Where are you going?
Once again, another person getting in the way of us reaching the destination of the cargo. Turns out, our driver had called the duty patrol, and they were waiting for us at this truck depot. They asked us to put our camera down. We asked them where the truck was going, and they wouldn't say.
You know, we worked for a week here. We worked for the city of New York,
yeah.
And everything has to be approved by the city of New York. We were taught from day one, look, if there's media, don't talk to the media.
I mean, it seems like every single turn on the trail, people are completely paranoid. They want to know what we're doing. They want to see our credentials. So we told them. We told them we're following the shit. We got permission. What's wrong with that? They did mention a company, We Care Organics, only an hour away. Turned out to be a blessing the truck driver pulled over out of fear. We looked into We Care and discovered that these guys hold the main contract with the New York City Department of Environmental Protection.
You're seeing over on the left-hand side of the facility, those are receiving doors. So the biosolids get dumped in there.
We met a nice guy named Ryan Serrato. We Care pays Ryan to sell human waste. Turns out he has no hang-ups about what he does.
Selling it is not the easiest thing, but it's certainly not the hardest because there is a tremendous value. Anything from household gardening to large landscape construction projects. I mean, we've done projects where we've supplied 20,000 cubic yards of compost to remediate a site. We've done fescue at airports, everything from planting tomatoes in someone's backyard.
I was shocked at what Ryan was telling me. Seemed like breaking news, but according to him, human excrement is being used all over the place and has been for years. WeCare has deals with cities all over the Northeast. New York and other cities pay WeCare and companies like them to haul their waste away, and then they sell it. This business model is brilliant. They get paid at both ends, so to speak. The future was in front of us.
I think that more and more municipalities are going to require that they beneficially use their biosolids, and that's where we come in. We have an entire technology division that specializes in finding new technologies to help better make compost products.
The Environmental Protection Agency has standardized two tiers of sludge. The highest quality shit can be sold to farmers and gardeners. That's known as Class A, and that is what Ryan sells. So from the sewers of New York, to the settling tanks, to the centrifuges, to the process here at WeCare, the poison has become a treasure. Ryan's job is to take the organic material and convince people that it is better, cleaner, and safer than any other type of compost out there. Every day he meets the challenge, the eternal concern of his clients. It's human shit, and no one wants to touch it, much less grow a salad from it. But Ryan is good at his job, and he took us to meet one of his favorite clients.
Everyone's nervous about having to answer the questions. What is this compost you have? What's it made out of? No one wants to say human waste. Everyone's scared to say it. Would you be? You know, we used to have a plant manager that said he could put it on a Triscuit and eat it. You know, it's, I don't know that I would do that, but you certainly, it wouldn't harm you. I mean, we test it every week. Every load that comes into the facility is tested before it even goes in. Hey, Frank.
Hey, how you doing?
Good to see you.
Good, you too.
This is Fred.
Hey, hi, Fred. How are you?
Nice to meet you, man.
Frank runs Oasis Garden Center in Lawrence Township, New Jersey. He is very excited about human waste, which he uses on everything.
How long have you been using the
We Care? I've been using this for a couple of years. I've tried all different type of products. What I found with the other products is a lot of times they just didn't have the nutrient, or if it was too fresh, it would basically just burn the grass if it would be too acidy.
This is organic.
100%, and we're not going to fertilize. No extra 10-10-10. This is it. We tried it last season with a small patch. The tomatoes were the biggest I think I've ever had in all the years we've been doing farming out here. It's a little warm when you touch it, but it grows grass the best I've ever seen.
Frank is not alone. Thousands of farmers and retailers are doing the same thing with this new global product. Human fecal matter is being used in tons of ways all around the country and the world. An estimated 10 million Chinese farmers use raw sewage to irrigate and fertilize cropland, and they've been doing it for thousands of years. Wine vineyards grow their grapes on biosolids. This ski resort in Arizona uses poop water to make snow. You may have flushed it down the toilet, but it doesn't go away. This is the beginning of a zero-waste society. And for guys like Frank, the results have been fabulous.
We're going to do a mass planting with it. I mean, we're putting in thousands of tomato plants this year with it. Strawberries are out. It's a little muddy out there, but I can show you how we planted those.
Let's take a look.
But not everyone is 100% behind this biosolid revolution. Activists warn against high levels of arsenic, lead, and mercury. And surveys have uncovered the germs of pneumonia and encephalitis. There's still no proof that the toxic chemicals in the soil transfer into the plants we eat. Not enough studies have been done. No conclusions have been reached. The EPA might approve it, but can we trust that? You and your next-door neighbor may be hooked up to a sewer, but so is your local hospital. Whole Foods has recently declared that they won't sell any products grown from biosolids. And the Commonwealth of Virginia, home of the Marlboro cigarette, Monte Cristo cigar, and Skoal Smokeless, has warned against using biosolids on tobacco. It's nice to know that a state producing well over a billion cigarettes a year is worried about our health. Then again, it's our shit. And there are a lot of people who might not want to touch it, or eat it, or smoke it.
See, all the strawberries are starting to pop up.
Oh, yeah, they are, right.
Now, just in these couple sections alone, there's 5,000 strawberries. So you can see
you
all the green
sell them
heads.
All?
Well, it's UPIC, so besides people eating them on the run, they'll sure if we're going to sell. We're given options, you know, and I'm just looking for the next best thing.
No wonder people weren't eager to tell us the fate of our poop. Turns out it's all around us, everywhere, all the time. Maybe it's just another fact of life. Color of your skin, religion, gay, straight, poop. Perhaps it's time to get over your hang-ups. You don't know shit, but maybe you know a little more now.
So from the toilets of Manhattan, down the drain, to Newtown Creek, to the barge, to Ward's Island, into the trucks and over the George Washington Bridge and into New Jersey and to the compost and finally here to the Oasis Garden Center, to these strawberry fields, where in just a couple of months, the parents will come with their children and frolic and play, and the children will eat their fill of strawberries and go home to the toilet, and the cycle will begin all over again.
Well, boys and girls, I thought you needed to know about your shit. And I've known about my shit for a long, long time because I was raised on the farm. And on the farm, you take all the shit from the cows and the horses and the pigs and the chickens and all of it, and you stack it up, and then when it comes time to fertilize the acreage, you have a big wagon with a thrower thing on the back of it that goes round and round and hook it on the back of a tractor, or used to be behind horses. And as you drive through the field, these forks would pick up the shit and fling it sometimes 20 feet in the air. And that's how we used to fertilize the land, and a hell of a lot better than what they're putting on the land today. Of course, much of what they're putting on the land today is toxic. And also, you knew right away where your shit went at my place, because we had an outhouse, and every time you shit, you'd look down the hole, and hey, there's my shit. And when that 20-foot hole gets filled, it takes a long time to do that. You put lime on it, and when it gets totally filled, well, you fill the top up with dirt or concrete or whatever and dig another hole. And that's not near as dangerous to the water table as this other stuff in the city that goes in. And I also used to know where the city's shit went, because we had a place here in town called Shit Creek. And the boys and I, we ride our bicycles over there, and you look down, there's this big 30-inch big tube, and out of it came water and all the turds and everything else, and some things I'm not even going to talk about. And they'd go floating away down the creek. That was back when we didn't have anything, any kind of equipment to clean up things. It was just dumped in your creek. Used to be a lot of wildlife seemed to like it. There were beaver and otter and all of them swimming around in there, so it didn't hurt them. But that was back before we had all these super chemicals in everything, you know. So anyhow, I was very familiar from a very young age where my shit went. And a little later, when I was in high school working for the City Parks Commission, we were using shit for the fertilizing all the trees and park grass and everything, because they'd already started with more modern processes, and they'd get this down to a sludge, and then they'd lay it out in big like areas where it could dry, and then they would scoop it up and mix it up and spread it all over the place for fertilizer way back. That was clear back in the 50s they were doing that, so we were pretty upscale around here with our shit. Now, Brazil, Brazil's another question. They have no water reclamation plants in Brazil at all. All their shit goes right into the creeks and rivers and lakes and the ocean. And so people are already getting sick. They're going down there to participate. They're practicing for the next year's Olympics, and there are already reports of people getting sick. Well, if I was an Olympic swimmer or whatever, had anything to do with the water, I wouldn't go down there, because that water is so polluted, so bad. It's so... they're out there swimming in this stuff, and here are these turds floating around all over the place. So they know where their shit's at, but they'd be much better off if they didn't. And that's most of the world. So you can see with this astronomic birth rate and tremendous boost in population, there's going to be a lot more shitting going on, and just it's got to befoul the natural resources and get into the water table. That's not even thinking about all the toxic crap and the tailings from uranium mines and all that stuff, like went into that river out west just this last week. My question is, why do they let them mine there in the first place? They shouldn't allow mining right next to rivers anyhow. So anyhow, that's Tommy's take on the situation. And the governor out there of Colorado, I believe, he went down to the river and took a cup and drank a cup of that water out of there only a couple of days after that spill. I would think it would be really payback if he dropped dead. These politicians. Anyway, nobody can ever tell you again you don't know about your shit, because you do now. You know the whole story. Incidentally, I finally found a switch to turn off the ringer on this crazy-ass phone, because invariably I'm right in the middle of something with the show, and some screwball, probably for nothing, calls me on the telephone. Well, let's check into the corrupt, lying bastards in the Christ insanity business. Dateline, Sydney, Australia. The abuse was meticulously cataloged from 1950 to 2014. The Watchtower Bible and Tract Society amassed 5,000 files detailing sexual abuse of Australian children by 1,006 of its members, who believed that only they, the Jehovah's Witness, proclaimed the truth about God. Young girls were assaulted by neighbors, teenagers were raped by their fathers, victims were forced to pray with their abusers. When the children reached out for help, the church's obsession with secrecy and hostility to outsiders kicked in. Seems like everything they accuse other people of doing, these churches are doing themselves. Victims ordered to keep quiet were forced to confront their abusers in person. All complaints, which averaged one a month for 65 years, were carefully recorded in sealed files along with the church's By the Bible responses. In all, 127 church officials were demoted. No one was reported to the authorities. Child abuse was recorded and hidden away. Well, isn't that interesting? Now, sordid details from the closed world of the Jehovah's Witnesses are being exposed that could severely tarnish the image of a powerful organization that has 8.2 million sucker members and mostly avoided scrutiny. 2 years ago, the Australian government established a royal commission similar to the Presidential Commission in the United States to investigate institutionalized child sexual behavior. And you know it's got to be pretty bad when the government gets involved. The inquiry's primary target was the Catholic Church's record of protecting pedophiles was almost as rampant in Australia as it was in the United States. To avoid singling out one religion, the government's officials gave the inquiry wide legal powers to examine any organization that may have covered up abuse. The commission doesn't have the power to find guilt or issue punishment. Well, isn't that sweet? They should be put on the rack. But a spokesman said it has referred more than 700 matters to authorities and will make recommendations to the government in a final report on 2017. Well, I think it's time for the government to demand, walk in there, these churches, and demand, not for these people who are officials in the church to dictate what's going to happen. You know, they all say they want to protect the little children. Yeah, right. Of the religious and non-religious groups being investigated, the Jehovah's Witnesses are exceptional, experts say. In a converted office in downtown Sydney, the organization's doctrines and practices are being parsed by lawyers, victims, and journalists, providing rare insight into one of the Christian world's most conservative and rotten churches. The church, which was founded in Pennsylvania during the 1870s to promote first century interpretation of the Bible, has emerged at least the least able or willing to deal with sexual abuse within its ranks, said Ann Cousins, an associate law professor at the University of New South Wales and an expert in sex crimes who is a consultant for the inquiry. I find their approach to the issue and victims extraordinarily bizarre, almost medieval, she said in an interview. In other words, they lie, cheat, steal, and anything to cover it up. And that's why you shouldn't send your kids to these Sunday schools and these churches, because, you know, these churches are full of pedophiles. Why do you think the pedophiles go there? Because there's little children. And also the adult perverts, too. See, they think they can better hide it using the Christian motif. Unlike the pedophile priests of the Catholic Church, the Jehovah's Witnesses have no paid clergy. Abusers are most, in other words, they abuse children for free. Abusers are mostly regular congregants who are shielded from official prosecution by the church's strict code of moral conduct. Yeah, I checked their moral conduct. Up against the wall, you asshole. We got evidence that you've been perverting little kids. Now you're going to die. There's not going to be any court. You're just going to die. Based on a literal interpretation of the Bible, that's insane. The rules call for separation from other members of society. Well, you didn't separate yourself enough, I guess, who are considered spiritually inferior. Everybody else is spiritually inferior. In other words, it's a cult. It's just a plain-ass cult. Leader, just like Scientology or any of them. Leadership in the church and its families is based on a formal hierarchy headed by men. Yeah, it's the Old Testament shit. Right out in the Old Testament. And it's Masonic shit, too. This church is created by a man who is totally dedicated to the Masonic order. Like I told you the other day, even on his gravestone, it's a giant pyramid. The church's deep suspicions of outsiders who are referred to derogatorily as worldly. Does that remind you of the Mennonites and the Quakers and all these people? You see, those other people out there, they're all wrong. We got to stay separate. The only thing I want to be separate is the white race. Beyond that, it's everybody's own business. Is the reason sex abuse among Jehovah's Witnesses is rarely reported to authorities, according to Angus Stewart, a South African lawyer who leads the investigation into the church. You better watch out. Check under his hood of his car when he goes. It is a system in which a group of men who are appointed from above, not by the congregation, stand in judgment over their fellow men, women, and children on every respect of their life, he told an inquiry last week. Well, that's the same way as the Mormons and all Mennonites, all these churches like that. They're Old Testament. In other words, the real Jew system. There is no meaningful distinction between family and church. In other words, you have no privacy in your family. And one step out of line, and I know what they do to Mormons, and it's pretty bad. In 1988, a 17-year-old girl in the state of Queensland was abused by her father, a prominent member of the local Jehovah's Witness congregation, while her mother and six brothers and sisters were on vacation, according to testimony given to the commission. He gave her alcohol and showed her pornographic movies. Well, it gets a lot worse than that. First time he tried to have sex with me, he came naked into my bed at night while I was asleep, touched me all over my body, unquote. The woman, who cannot be identified under Australian law, told the inquiry last week. Quote, when I protested, I remember him saying to me, shh, it's okay, I'm your daddy. Be obedient to your father because God and Jesus tells you to. Quote, my father touched me and tried to have sex with me on at least four or five different occasions, she continued. I resisted as much as I could each time, but he was a violent man and prone to snap. I was absolutely petrified of him and tried not to make him angry. While she was being raped, her father quoted passages from the Bible, the Jewish book, the devil's book, and referred to verses of scripture about being more obedient than he had made her put up on her bedroom wall. Quote, you have to be obedient to me, he said, because Jesus tells you that. During the sexual acts, according to the woman who is now 44. After the rest of the family returned from vacation, the father prohibited her from speaking to anyone he thought she might confide in. Quote, if she broke his rules, he flogged her, she said. When the teenager revealed the assaults to her mother, she learned that several of her sisters had gone through similar ordeals, including one who was 5 years old the father was screwing. The church has strict rules governing moral behavior, right? Then how come they're so immoral? If a Jehovah's Witness becomes aware that another member has committed a serious sin, such as fornication, adultery, homosexuality, blasphemy, apostasy, adultery, and other similar gross sins, according to the commission, they are advised to tell senior men in their congregation known as elders. The process for handling these complaints is based on motions of justice and procedural fairness devised 2,000 years ago and recorded in the Bible. Oh, well, that's the Jews. That's where they get it from, right? 2,000 years ago, recorded in the Bible. There weren't no Jehovah's Witnesses at that time. Jehovah's Witnesses set a high bar for the discipline of their own. You know, this is why you have to divert a little bit. This is why you have to promote anti-Semitism. But I'd rather call it anti-Jewism and be right out with it and not apologize for it. Church elders need to secure a confession or the testimony of two credible witnesses to the same incident. And that's probably pretty hard to do. Two witnesses to separate incidents of the same kind or strong circumstantial evidence testified to by at least two witnesses. Well, I doubt whether the father's going to bring one or two other people into the bedroom when he's sneaking under the sheets to pork his daughter. So probably the number of people who are guilty of these sex crimes are 10 times more than what they're discovering. The accuser also has to justify his or her allegations to church elders, often in the presence of the alleged perpetrator. Wouldn't that be sweet? Go before these stuffy old people. And, yeah, he come in there, he got under the cover, he took my panties off, and she'd have to go through the whole thing. Or the kid, the guy. Because boys get raped too. Religion is a problem. It's a virus. And it's killing us. Church officials acknowledge that all because people are afraid of dying. That's it. They're all afraid of dying. You can't do anything about it. We're going to all die, so why worry about it? Church officials acknowledge, I know, because if you don't die in the right way, in the right frame of mind, you won't go into the clouds and sit at the right hand of the Father. You may go down to that place we call, Scripps Ranch. No. You may go down to that bad place where people are roasting weenies all day long. Can you believe it? We're still under this threat of power in this age that we're still afraid of the dark. Church officials acknowledge the process can be difficult for victims, but say they have no choice but to follow the Bible. Well, I can tell you anything out of the Bible. What do you want to hear? It's okay to kill 10 million people, says it in the Bible. Kill them all. Kill their animals. Kill men, women, and children. Plow up and put salt in the ground. That's what they did to Canaan. Everything is okay in the Bible. You just have to find it. Quote, all scripture is inspired by God. Well, who was there and who saw God do that? And who, wait a minute. You know, this religion's got, is so full of holes, it's unbelievable. Rodney Spinks, one of the church's top administrators in Australia, told the Inquiry, we, like many Christians, we are not fanatically trying to find references to make life difficult. Oh, you're not? I'd like to see your book of what you can't do and what you should not do in that church. Remember when, you know, most of the churches didn't want you to dance or have a drink or, God, have a cigarette? I mean, you know, or a joint? Are you kidding? We're applying scriptures as we read it in the best way we can. That's right, to suit the elders of the church. To sensitively integrate with modern society. You have perverted modern society. The religious cults have perverted modern society. They perverted the politicians, Washington, D.C. They get up there and pray every morning before the Congress. I get up and pray that the whole Congress disappears one night. Guy Fawkes night. Those found guilty are often banned from church for a number of years. Or they are demoted in church hierarchy. Well, I wonder what the perks are to all this. When a 17-year-old complained to church elders of being raped, two of her father's friends carried out the investigation. "Did you enjoy it?" she said she was asked. When she was forced to repeat the allegations in front of her father, he said, according to her, "You seduced me." Pot calls the pan black. She later filed a police report, left the church, and tried to commit suicide. There should be payback on these guys. There should be physical payback. There's no other answer. Her father was expelled from the church, convicted of rape, and sentenced to 3 years in jail, and hope they get him in jail. There was a day when people like that didn't last in prison. Now the prison's got so many pedophiles in there, I don't know. 4 years after the abuse, he was allowed to become a Jehovah's Witness again. I remember that when I was announced to the congregation, all of the brothers crowded around my father, shaking his hand and patting him on the back. "You parked your daughter, did a couple of years, and now you're back in. Who are you going to park this time?" Referring to male members of the church, despite many people in the congregation knowing what he had done to me and my sisters, I heard members of the congregation say, "Welcome back, you pedophile son of a bitch. Hey, let's party down, babe. Come over to my house tonight. I got some new daughters." Okay. There you are. That's the virus of Christianity, Judaism, and Mohammedism, Islam. All the Abrahamic religions. I'm not going to go into the Asian religions because I'm not that well versed on them. But they certainly can't be as bad on these issues as a Christian church. And if you're still in it and think you're a good white separatist, you're not. Sorry. No way. You're following myths that are against our race. All the major churches condemn our ideas on racial separation. All of them. I think it was just a few years ago the Pope even said, condemned us as being excommunicated if you were a member of the Catholic Church. So since the last church I was involved, well, no, before a Christian Identity, I was in the Catholic Church for about 10 years and even was baptized in the church. So this means that I am kicked out. Like kicked out of the, I've been kicked out of more outfits than I can keep track of. I'm kicked out of the church. I'm kicked out of this church. I'm kicked out of the Democrat Party. I never got a chance to get kicked out of the Republican Party. I left it. I got kicked out of the American Independent Party because the truth is no defense. I try to tell the truth about some of their wacky ideas in the right wing. And I exposed a leader in California who lived in San Diego. His name's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember it right now. He was preaching total crap to the American Independent Party white people, and I exposed him. And who left? He didn't leave. I resigned. Piss on it. I have no faith in any of these things like that, these groups. See, all the rats always gravitate to the top. In every situation, every organization, every church, you'll find the shit floats to the top. The thing that scares me the most is the Christian religion and Judaism with atomic bombs in their possession. That's enough to keep you awake all night, every night. Shades of our Aryan heroine, Margaret Sanger, who forged the way and who the right wing now and the Christian churches condemn. I'm going to read you this. Last month, my husband and I signed forms donating an embryo we had conceived to medical research. Meanwhile, conservative Republicans are vowing to defund Planned Parenthood for allowing women who have abortions to make the same choice. My husband and I used in vitro fertilization to conceive both our children. The process involved extracting my eggs, fertilizing them in a lab, and implanting them, a healthy embryo, inside me. Many patients, like my husband and me, produce more embryos, also called pre-embryos, before they are implanted than they can use. So clinics cryogenically freeze them until patients choose to use them in another IVF cycle, dispose of them, donate them to scientific research, which results in their destruction, or offer them to an infertile couple. After 2 years and careful thought, we chose to donate ours to research. We hope our choice will help doctors find cures for debilitating and fatal diseases and illnesses such as Huntington's disease and ALS. Oh no, not if the Christian churches can do anything about it. No, the cults, they want into the act. Christian fanatics. Like our fertility clinic, Planned Parenthood allows women to donate to the medical research tissue from an embryo or fetus they will not carry to term. Like our clinic, Planned Parenthood receives no profit from all this, only reimbursement for its cost, indeed the full, unedited version of the video that sparked recent Republican outrage provides evidence that Planned Parenthood does not profit from giving women this choice. Now, it's no accident the Republicans bring this shit up just a few months before the presidential election. They use this abortion and other simplistic arguments like that to get their base all excited. Most of them don't believe this shit at all, but they use it to radicalize the base and get them out to vote. So they're all excited about freedom of choice and so forth. And I venture to say most of the right wing that say they're racial go along with the Republican crap too. That's why a hell of a lot of the stuff that is more on the ball is coming out of technology and the left. It's not coming out of the right. So, you want to call me a race traitor, go ahead, but I'm not. I'm going to go... See, the racial struggle in the old days was to the left. It wasn't to the right. It wasn't with the rich bastards and the Republicans. It was the Democrats, and it was the liberals and the, those kind of people. That's where it was really going strong until we were betrayed. People like Jack London and all those people, they were leftists. They weren't right-wingers or Republicans and like that. The racial struggle used to be there and in support of labor and support of the environment, and all that kind of stuff. And support of the 8-hour work week and all that 8-hour day work day, all that kind of stuff. All the things that the Democrats and the left grabbed onto are what we had in the racial struggle way back in the last century. So here we go, the racial struggle being co-opted by these right-wingers, the corporations, the ruling class, being led around by their nose, chasing now after Trump. Because he says a few things that everybody says, well, I like that, so we'll follow him to hell and back. Well, forget it. It ain't going to happen. I've been through it many times. Anyhow, I'll read on here. Yet there are striking differences between my experience and that of a woman seeking an abortion. In Pennsylvania, where my fertility clinic is located, a woman seeking an abortion must receive state-directed counseling designed to discourage her from the procedure. Well, at this late date in my life, I don't believe that anymore. I don't. If a woman does not want to be a mother and does not have the ability to finance and educate the kid, then abortion is the answer. There's no other abortion. these right-wing Christians and even racial Christians, they're not going to take all these unwanted babies and raise them and feed them and educate them and send them to college. Are you kidding? They don't want any part of supporting these kids that nobody wants. They want to force women to have the babies that they can't raise, they can't afford, they don't have any husband, and the whole bit. They don't care. They don't care. Just have the kid, because the Moloch of our religion demands it. The Moloch of our religion demands it. She must then wait at least 24 hours until she can continue. In other states, women are forced to undergo unnecessary and invasive ultrasounds, watch or listen to a description of the ultrasound, and hear a lecture on how the embryo or fetus is a human life. Well, I thought all these people were worried about too much population in the world, but yet every time some woman doesn't not want to bring a child to term, that's almost like a capital offense. Clinics in some states must provide them with medically inaccurate information on the risks of abortion. After all that, women often cannot have an abortion without waiting on an additional 1 to 3 days, depending on the state. See, that's church influence in politics. Got to get rid of it one way or another. In contrast, all my husband and I had to do was sign a form. Our competence to choose the outcome of our embryo was never questioned. There were no mandatory lectures on gestation. No requirement that I explicitly told that parenthood begins at conception, or that I view a picture of the day 5 embryo. There was no compulsory waiting period for me to reconsider my decision. In fact, no state imposed these restrictions, so common for abortion patients, on patients with frozen embryos. With rare exceptions, the government doesn't interfere with the IVF patient's choice except to resolve disagreements and so forth. Well, it goes on and on and on, but there was a day when I was all excited and fanatical about, oh my God, abortion, abortion, but things have changed. Things are changing fast. And with the population and, of course, the bringing down to the general working class in this country to be peasants, poor peasants, without a job, without a hope of job, with the 2 or 3% of the country controlling all the money, and almost a trillion dollars a year dumped into armaments and taken away from the people. If they had all that money in circulation, most of these poor people could be doing pretty good. At least they could be lower middle class. But they continually want to keep the people down and poor. And that ultimately will lead to revolution and civil war. And, I can't see any other thing that can happen. Anyhow, that's it for now, and if I didn't offend you on that issue, I'll try to find another one to offend you. But we do want women, white women, having healthy white babies with husbands that stick with them and provide for their education and so forth like that, and produce a happy child, and not a servant of the state either. I know what I'm talking about, because when I was born, my mother was married, but the marriage only lasted a couple of years, and my real father ran off to chase other women all over the country and had kids by other women, and my mother was left as a single mother. Basically in poverty. And there's millions of women like that. Millions of kids like that. I was fortunate. My mother stuck with me. And I grew up okay. Quit laughing. Relatives of my father tried to get me away from my mother. My mother fought tooth and nail. These fat-ass Republican types, the ruling class, they don't care. They don't care at all. It's my opinion they all should be executed. The horrible crimes they commit against society. Worst people in the prisons today, I submit, are close to what our leadership is in Washington. The worst. The best people in prison are far above the morals of the people in Washington, with more honor than the people in Washington. Like I say, I hate the people who cause me to hate. And I'm hating more every day. You know what people really like about Trump? And most of them won't admit it. And most of them are white. That's political correctness. They still have racism in them. They still have plenty of white racism in it in themselves. Trump is doing, they know what Trump, or at least they interpret what Trump is saying as being pro-white. And that's why there's so much of a support of him. He does it in an interesting way, maybe genuinely, maybe ingenuine, I don't know. But it's what they fear. The establishment is so afraid of this kind of thing, could get away from them. They don't know quite what to do, and they don't know whether to attack or not attack. And it's great. I have no confidence in Donald Trump as far as becoming a leader at all. But he is serving a purpose to reach into that white psyche and pull out this screw political correctness, ram it down your throat. And if he doesn't do anything else, that's doing a great job. And it more radicalizes the base. And I get such a bang out of Trump and what he's doing. And I think most white racists have climbed onto this bandwagon. Unfortunately, most of them don't realize quite what's going on, but the point is, it is going on. It's going to be interesting to see it write its way out. And see at what point do the ruling class decide to really do something to get Trump out of the way, or whether he'll, sell out as most billionaires do as time goes on, or quit. But in the meantime, it's a lot of fun, and you worry about racism. Racism is all over this thing, baby. If you don't think racism is a big part of this, you aren't too smart. Well, that's about it for today. I had a power failure, and I had to do half the show, and now I do have to do the other half, and I'm not quite sure how many minutes on the other half, but I think I've got about an hour going here, so I'll be back tomorrow on Tuesday. Think white, act white, be white, and get rid of this idea of equality and all of that kind of crap. It'll kill you. It'll drive you crazy. It turns all these Jehovah's Witnesses into pedophiles.